Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Today is here's the announcements for today, December 24th. And if you would like to give today, there is an offering box that you can put your tithes in. Another way to give is through e-transfers with the church's email address, MoranvilleAlliance@shaw.ca. There will be no children's nursery and ARC Sunday school for the next two Sundays, but there are coloring papers and crayons in the back of the church that if they would like to color. Youth group will begin again on January 10th. Many of our home groups will begin again in the second and third week of January. So tonight, we will be having our candlelight service at 7 o'clock p.m. tonight. So bring your family, your friends, and even your neighbors. And it'll be under an hour long. So, and we will now have our Advent reading.
How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "See how very much our Father loves us, for he called us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they do not love him. This is how God showed his love. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." In 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. In John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35, it states, "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other, just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Let's pray. God, we thank you that you bring us a love that is neither fleeting or passive. We find our tanks run dry so quickly. Come and fill us with your unconditional love that knows no bounds and is ever ready to fill us to overflowing. May your love naturally splash from us upon our neighbors, both locally and around the world.
Tidings be, which inspire your heaven. Yeah. changing everything. You called me to your kingdom before your lips could speak. And even as a baby, you were reaching out for me. And now we are awaiting the day of return. Wherever I will see you, as heaven calls you earth, until the sky is open, until the trumpet sounds.
We're going to go into our prayer time this morning. You might have noticed that some of our musicians were a little thin this morning. We don't have to feed them as much when they come in this way. There actually are plates of desserts when you go out today if you want to have some dessert before you go. We have a wonderful announcement of a baby birth. Carter Cruz and Janelia had a baby boy, Jackson Ray. Congratulations to them and to Rowena as a grandma. This morning we're going to use 2 Corinthians to guide our prayers. Let's pray. In adoration in 2 Corinthians 1-3, it says, "All praise to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the source of every mercy and the God who comforts us. We are a people who have experienced the mercy and the comfort of God. Let us come before him now with silent expression of adoration and praise." Paul writes in chapter 3, verse 4, "We are confident because of our great trust in God through Christ. It's not that we think that we can do anything lasting by ourselves. Our only power and success comes from God." Does this express the true focus and attitude in our own hearts and minds? Have we placed our trust? Where have we placed our trust this week? Has it been in ourselves or in Christ? Let us confess the instances of selfish pride. Chapter 4, verse 17, 18. "For our present troubles are quite small and won't last very long. Yet they'll produce for us an immeasurable great glory that'll last forever." So don't look at the troubles you can see right now. Rather, we look forward to what we've not yet seen. For the troubles we see will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. People of God, let us lift up our eyes from our many present troubles into the face of Christ. There'll be a time of unending joy, life without sorrow or pain or suffering. Let us be thankful for those things that are eternal and the glory that is working within us. Supplication, chapter 1, verse 8, 10, 11. "We were crushed and completely overwhelmed. We thought we'd never live through it, and he did deliver us, and we're confident he'll continue to deliver us. He will rescue us because you're helping by praying for us." Are we or someone around us overwhelmed in need of a rescue? God hears our prayers. He will deliver. Let us bring a request before him now. For Gloria and Jerry, Morgan and Patrick, Brian and Rita, for Will and Martha's family, for Ernie, for Angel, Cynthia and Jill, for Vicky and Donald, for Lisa and Chris, for Jackie's family, Corrine and Isaac, Tammy's family, for Shannon and Cam, for Matthew and Trina, and then some of the places around the world, Tanzania, Taiwan, Singapore, for Israel, for Gaza, for Lebanon, for Afghanistan, Ukraine, Sudan. We pray for your peace that only you can bring. We pray for the Christian church in China that's suffering. And then for Canada and United States, we pray for healing in our land. God, we bring before you all the unspoken requests, the things that we can no longer carry, the things that would crush us, but it won't crush you. And so we give you our cares, our worries, our fears. As a community of Jesus followers that's growing together in faith, hope, and love, let's pray together as Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing again.
His name, all oppression.
I'll admit, CeCe Wyman can hit some notes that I just cannot hit. In Bob Recker's book, Forged by Fire, How God Shapes Those He Loves, he talks about a period in his life where he knew enormous pain. He got a spinal injury, and they had to sedate him just to be able to do the MRI, and they realized there was an enormous amount of damage. He could not use 80% of the one side of his body. What he went through was an incredible process where 5-6 weeks he had a neck brace on all the time, 24 hours a day. One day he decided he was going to go outside for a change, and it was cold outside. And he sat there, and after a few minutes, a bird sat beside him and started singing. And he looked at the bird and he said, "What on earth is worth singing about?" He said if he could have, you know, reached the bird, he would have killed the bird. It just kept singing. The next day it was warm and sunny. He went out again. You never guess who showed up. The bird started singing. He thought, if I had a gun, I'm going to shoot that bird. He said at that point, something kind of hit him. The bird sang in the cold rain as well in the sunny warmth. Its song was not altered by the outward circumstances, but it was held constant by an internal condition. It was as if, though, God quietly said to me, "You have the same choice, Bob. You either let external circumstances mold your attitude, or your attitude will rise above the external circumstances. You choose." Let's pray. God, teach us to be able to praise you equally in both the sunny and the stormy days. No matter what happens, we know that you are with us and that you have a plan for us. We thank you for your hand of mercy that you've placed upon each one of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. That was my nephew crying. He's allowed to cry anytime he wants. Today's passage is in Luke 2, 22 to 35. I think Ernie's going to put it up. You can follow along as I read it. When the time came for the purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came to the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to the people of Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, Mother Mary, "This child's destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Last week, in the third week of Advent, we heard the angel singing Gloria. Glory to God in the highest. Today we hear the phrases and exaltation as Simeon declares the destiny of the Christ child. From the prophecies of old, like Isaiah and Micah, their words have become like arrows pointing to the one who would set his people free. What started off with a whisper of a tune from the priest Zechariah is turning into an echoing smash of symbols from Simeon's lips. The actions of God have moved in very subtle ways, but continues to pick up speed with every human encounter. Much like a toboggan beginning its decline at the top of a hill and its descent to the bottom, God is doing the very things he began to proclaim 700 years earlier, recorded in the Old Testament with the prophet Isaiah. The incredible thing about God is that he does not simply act on his own. When he reveals himself to our world, he always seems to work in and through and around everyday people. People like you and people like me. This journey in the first two chapters of Luke have taken us from the surprise pregnancy of Elizabeth that would produce John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Christ. The angelic visitation to Mary and Joseph about her pregnancy and a virgin birth of the Messiah. The celebration of the angels to the shepherds of Jesus' birth. And finally today, the revelation of what Christ came to do in our world through the voice of Simeon, who was a devout follower of the Most High God. What are these songs and hymns that were offered up as praise to the Lord almost 2,000 years ago have to do with our lives today? What significant thing does the Christ child have for you or me as parents or teachers or students, providers, seekers? For not only where we are presently, but where we're headed for the rest of our lives. God has started something that only he can end. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He holds our lives in the palm of his hands. And it's in him we can choose to trust. Our passage begins in Luke 2, 21, with Jesus being circumcised on the eighth day of his birth and given his name, which the angel had revealed to Mary when he had first spoken to her. After a Jewish baby boy was born, there were three ceremonies they went through. The first was circumcision on the eighth day of their birth. The second is mentioned in verse 22 and 23 of today's text. It was a purification offering that was brought when the child was presented to God. These usually happened after the child was a month old. This tradition came from when the people of Israel were delivered from the Egyptians, recorded in the Old Testament book of Genesis. God spared all the firstborn in families if they had sprinkled blood on the doorposts. The blood of the lamb covered over the sin, but also symbolized the day when the Lamb of God would one day enter our world and give his own blood as a permanent sacrifice for all people of all times. So in this dedication, each family brought their oldest son to the temple as a reminder how God had saved their children from the plague. The priest would present the child to God and then give it back to the mother. The third ceremony was the purification of the mother. For 40 days after the birth of a son, the mother was unceremoniously unclean, so she could not enter the temple. At the end of this time period, the couple was to bring a lamb for a burnt offering and a dove or a pigeon for a sin offering. This is what Mary and Joseph appeared to be offering in Luke 2:24. If one was poor, the lamb could be replaced for a second dove or pigeon. It seems like in this text, Luke 2, that the second and third ceremonies were combined and happening simultaneously. Luke 2:25 almost begins like a new chapter starting in the story as Simeon enters the narrative. It says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel." The New Living says it like this: "He was eagerly awaiting for the Messiah to rescue Israel." Here's a man who was not focused simply on himself or his direct family connections, but he was caring for the nation of Israel as a whole. He had a big picture view of what he believed and hoped that God would do. It says that Simeon waited eagerly. It's almost like he was pregnant with the plan of God within him. There was such an expectancy about what the Lord was about to do. Do we have expectation when we come and celebrate in church? And when we're hanging out with our neighbors or with our peers, that God is about to do something? It says the Holy Spirit rested on Simeon. Here is a person who was filled with the Holy Spirit. How does or how can this happen in our lives? When we surrender ourselves and our wills to God and then allow Him to daily fill us for the glory of His kingdom. Instead of convincing God to go with our plan, we choose to pursue the things that the Spirit is doing in us and with others. We're about to see this happen in Simeon's life. Verse 26, it explains it had been revealed to Simeon that he would not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Messiah. What a secret God had put in this faithful man's heart. So in verse 27, guided by the Holy Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. It's a good thing he didn't sleep in that day. And when the parents, Mary and Joseph, brought in the child Jesus, which was customary under the law, something very unusual happened. In Luke 2:28-32, it explains how Simeon, this older godly man, took the infant Jesus in his arms. How many of you young moms are going to let some stranger take a hold of your baby and carry it around? Probably not many of you. Simeon begins praising God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word." Simeon is saying, "It's okay if I die now, because I've seen with my own eyes the long-awaited for coming Messiah." What a great feeling that you have being released to go from life to eternity, fulfilling all that God had you to do. He continues on in Luke 2:30. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples." God is on the move. He's been acting in the middle of the nation of Israel, but most people missed it. They didn't have eyes for what the Lord was doing. They wanted God to come the way they designed and planned for Him to. But history with the Lord reveals over and over that we do not control or contain God in the palm of our hand. Rather, He is the director. He is the initiator. Verse 32, "A light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." This rescue plan was going to touch the whole world, both those inside the Jewish nation, but also there was hope for everyone on the outside. Gentiles being anyone who isn't Jewish. Is anybody here a Gentile? That God was coming to set all people free, not only Jews, but Gentiles as well, would have been a stunning revelation to the Jewish nation. A light for the revelation to the Gentiles. Luke 2:33, it says, "The child's father and mother, Mary and Joseph, were amazed at what was being said about Jesus." It's still sinking in. The visitation from the angels, becoming pregnant through the Holy Spirit. The sign of Elizabeth becoming pregnant in her own old age. The wise men at a future juncture. The shepherds and their encounter with the angels. And now Simeon. What is God actually doing? It's so big, it's hard to comprehend. In verse 34, Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." The New Living says it like this: "The child will cause many in Israel to fall, but he'll be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Many people wanted God to send a rescuer to save them from the domination of the Romans. but they never envisioned that it was going to bring changes in their own lives. They wanted things to change on the outside without ever becoming different on the inside. Even though God was assuring their faithful prayers, most opposed Jesus. Often people want a quick fix out of a situation that confronts them presently, but they're not looking to do anything different themselves. We want a new house. We want a new marriage, because staying and working with what we have is going to be incredibly hard. When Jesus encounters people's lives, they could not hide behind the appearances, because he was able to see right through to the core of our intentions. The final phrase, a sword will pierce your soul. It speaks of the pain that Mary herself would go through because of those who would reject Jesus as the Christ. She would experience the pain both externally and internally. John Wesley's father, Samuel Wesley, he was a minister in Epworth in England for 40 years, and there were people that did not like him at all. He actually had enemies in the church. February 9th, 1709, their house was set on fire. They think from somebody in the church. It was a two-story house, and what had happened was some of the neighbors saw quickly. One got on the shoulders of another. John Wesley was 6 years old. He was in the upper part of the house and in a window. And they just grabbed his arms out as the roof collapsed. The house was completely destroyed. Afterwards, Samuel Wesley said, "Come, neighbors, let us kneel down. Let us give thanks to God. He has given me all my 8 children. Let the house go. I am rich enough." Samuel Wesley labored for 40 years in Epworth and saw very little fruit. But consider all the things that his family would accomplish. His children had a profound impact on the kingdom of God. Could you imagine if someone came up to you when you had a toddler and said, "God's going to do great things through this child"? How would you respond? Being used by God in this world is rarely an easy path. What a powerful, exciting hymn song that extends from Simeon's lips and yet concerning. He says the words everyone who's ever been waiting on the edge of their seats has been longing for. Yet they are troubling verses. Mary's mother will have a broken heart because of others, how they respond to Jesus. And because we know the end of the story, we understand the extent of this pain as the Christ is crucified in front of her. It says that many will fall, many will oppose him, and that many will reject him. Why is this? In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, it says that Jesus came to his own people, and even they rejected him. He came as light to the darkness, but the darkness could not overcome or extinguish it. This is why God needs a rescue plan, and Jesus came as a babe in the manger. What was the good and right had vanished in the night sky and was replaced with evil and wickedness. Our world and our lives were broken because of sin. Everything that we are about as a people was contaminated because sin had separated us from God, from each other, from our planet, and even understanding our own selves. So when Christ came to turn the world right side up, most were more comfortable in the confusion and darkness that they had already been living in. When God enters the scene of our lives, there are two obvious choices. The first is run as far as you can in the other direction, in a hope to get out of the light. What we attempt to hide in the darkness of our souls does not remain hidden when we encounter the Christ. We may be able to hide such things from others or even ourselves, but this never works with God. We're exposed and revealed for what we really are. And this is hard if one wants to continue in one's former way of life. So the only way to remain the same is to hide or to try and remove or break the light of God's good news in some way. These are the ones who fall, oppose, and reject the rescue plan of God through Christ. But there is a second response. It says that there are those who arise or embrace this life-changing event with joy. These are the ones who experience the spotlight of the Holy Spirit shining upon them, but they're done running. They're willing to be honest with themselves. They're willing to finally admit that all the dark things that have been revealed in their life is true. They want a new life. They want a relationship with God and others, no longer on their terms, but on God's. They know there's nothing they can do by their own actions to rid the sin of brokenness in their own lives. So they freely surrender themselves to be directed by God so he can gently transform them from the inside out. The end result is a day-by-day trusting in God as we navigate a troubled and a hurting world. When people encounter the Christ, it's impossible to sit on the fence of eternity. Circumstances and situations may not work out the way we wanted or hoped. But what we're left with is a joy from God on the inside amidst all that has gone wrong. This psalm, this hymn, is about a destiny, about our God who walked this earth to set us free from what was slowly killing us from the inside out. Either we'll ultimately accept him and embrace him with the whole of our being, or we will reject him by our choices and how we live our lives. If we choose Jesus, what we're left with is the opportunity to exalt and praise God for his marvelous plan that he has set us free forever. 2009, Oxford Dictionary. The word of the year is unfriend. Defined as someone who is in your social network and is removed like on Facebook. Jesus is in the completely opposite business, looking to establish more and more friendships. Where does this leave us? Are we friends with Jesus and his way of doing life, even though the path is hard? Or will we go our own way and try and unfriend him like many others have? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your plan of rescue and salvation. When no one else could see it coming or understand the impact of your grace, you sent the Christ child. We invite you to have your way and will in our lives. We surrender all we know and all we have to you. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
On Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Compassion King to own. pierced him through. The cross he bore for me and you. Hail, hail the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary.
I have a couple announcements. The benediction, we'll sing one more song and then you'll be dismissed. I talked about their desserts once you leave. What we're going to do is we're going to make sure lots of musicians eat the desserts, and so they'll be fatter when they're here tonight. We'll have live music tonight. The service starts at 7. It'll probably go from about 7 to about 7:40, and it'll be pretty crisp, and I think you'll want to be a part of it and invite your friends. If you want prayer this morning, there'll be somebody in the back corner that can pray with you. You know what's crazy is that life goes by really fast. Usually it starts when you graduate from high school. I was talking to somebody recently, and I said, why is it that you always feel like you're 18 inside? Sorry for those who are under 18 at this point. You'll get it soon. But it doesn't matter what happens to you, what you go through in life. We feel young inside. It's just that our bodies can't quite keep up as fast as we used to. Somebody said, I think we have young souls. As you go under the sign of the cross, that Jesus promises to take our old life and give us a new life. It doesn't mean all the hard and difficult things are going to go away, but it means that he's going to walk with us. He's going to take our hand. He's going to fill us with himself and give us a new path like we've never seen before. Amen.
One star burns in the darkness, shines with a promise. Thank you. We're singing.